Was born in Bethlehem many years ago, born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give, born of Mary, born so low many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to the wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love new birth. Ring the bells, oh, ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago. Ring the bells, ring the bells, what a glorious morn. Men and angels worship him, singing Christ is born. Born to die on Calvary, born to set his people free, God himself in human form, tell it Christ is born. He has left his royal throne, he has come to claim his own. Christ the Lord has come to earth, go spread the news of Jesus' birth. Ring the bells, oh ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago.
Amen. What a great song. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs. The very idea of ring the bells was when a baby was born in towns of years gone by, they would go out and ring the bells. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin. Let's take the word of God this morning. We'll go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're so grateful that you're here today. And I know we've got college students that are home, and we're grateful to have you as well. I'm sure that you've come for Mama's cooking. I'm no doubt about it, you know, and so that's a blessing. You know, this is a time of year unlike any other time I can remember ever having a Christmas during a pandemic time. And during an election when there's uncertainty even with all that. In fact, back in 1963, one of the recorded songs was, we hear it so often during this time, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But for many people, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. For some people, it brings about a time of despair and unrest and often hopelessness. If I could really classify something that is going on in America right now, and I believe throughout the world, it is hopelessness. Just hopeless. And today, I want to preach on this subject. Is there hope at Christmas? Is there hope? Do we have any hope right now? Is there any hope that we can put our faith and trust in? Is there anything along that lines? Well, I want you to know before I even begin that yes, there is hope at Christmas. There is not hope in the White House. There is not hope necessarily in a better health. But I believe that there is hope today that is found in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the story of a little boy. He was 6 years of age. His name was Nate. Nate was riding along in the car with his dad. And you know how six-year-old boys are. They just say different things at times. They drive along in the road, and all of a sudden, Nate says to his dad, he says, "Dad, do you want me to throw my confetti that's in my pocket right now?" And the dad looked down at the boy and said, "No, son, I don't want you to throw confetti in the car." And then he said, "Well, what in the world are you doing with confetti in your pocket?" He said, "Well, Dad, it's kind of like this." He said, "It's my emergency confetti, all right, if there is such a thing." He said, "I keep it in my pocket and take it with me everywhere just in case there is some good news." Well, I want you to know something today. We need a little bit of that spirit among God's people today. That we are just waiting for the good news. Well, I want you to know in Matthew chapter number 1, there came some good news. But to some people, it was not really good news. In fact, do you know that to Joseph and Mary, the coming of our Savior was somewhat confusing to them? Now, here you have a couple, Joseph and Mary. The Bible says that they were espoused. Now, many people think that that means that they were engaged to be married. But it is much different than our type of engagement. I remember when I got engaged to my wife and I asked her to marry me. Miraculously, she said yes on that day. And, you know, but there was months before we had our wedding. and the wedding when we made a covenant with God and with each other that we would be faithful to one another and to the Lord until death do us part. But a Jewish espousal was something very different. In fact, a Jewish espousal was much like this. In the Jewish culture, espousal signified that a contract of marriage had already been agreed upon by the groom, which would have been Joseph, and the father of the bride, which would have been Mary's dad. In fact, the couple was already legally married under Jewish law, but they had to observe a period of separation before the intimacy of marriage, for which Joseph would prepare a house and get everything in order before they came together as husband and wife. They were espoused to be married. And you know the story. Then Mary comes up and she says, "Joseph, I am with child." Let's read the story together, because I want us to see that there is hope at Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 18. And I'm sure that you understand this is a very familiar passage, especially during Christmas time. Matthew chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which being interpreted is 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now I want you to understand that so often when we think of the Christmas story, and maybe when children put on the play of the Christmas story, everything is beautiful and everything is, seems to be perfect, and it is so comforting, and we look upon that with joy and gladness, but it was not really that way. You see, you take this young couple, Joseph and Mary, they had dreams of being together as a husband and wife and raising a family together, but it's not going to be that way really. Because for the rest of their lives, Joseph and Mary are going to be talked about. In fact, they are going to be misunderstood, and people are going to criticize her, especially of being unfaithful to her husband. Because, hey, by the way, has this ever happened before, that a virgin conceived a child? Never. So you understand that the announcement that Joseph got, that Mary is with child, there was a sense of hopelessness about him. He is thinking, my dreams are done. Life will never be the same. The ideals that I had about me and Mary being together and having a family are destroyed. Is there any hope for Joseph and Mary? Is there hope for you and me at Christmas time? We have gone through a year. You hear this all the time. This has been a year like none other. And all the different things about this year. And we could list many of those things. And I am finding that people are hopeless today. There is no hope seemingly left for them. But I want you to know today that we have as much hope as we had 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Brethren, we have hope today because our hope is in an unchanging God who loves us this morning. That's where our hope is. We see number one this morning in Matthew chapter 1. We see the pronouncement of hope. Do you know that the angel pronounced hope to Joseph? Now think about Joseph. Here is this man who for him, his life has been turned upside down. Here is Joseph. He's no doubt getting the house ready and he's probably had to paint it many different colors because Mary has changed her mind. You know, you understand that. He's moved the furniture three or four times because she's changed her mind. I'm just kind of kidding here just for a little bit. But he's getting ready. He's excited. The day is coming and I love Mary. And he believed in his heart that God had brought them two together. And no doubt he spent some of his days daydreaming about what it's going to be like to be married and have a family together. And then all of a sudden, he gets the news. Mary tells him, Joseph, I'm with child. Can you imagine what it did to him? Now, I believe with all my heart that he loved Mary and cared for her. In fact, the Bible says that he was a just man. Now, what that meant was that Joseph was a man who followed the Jewish law. He was a good man. He was a man obedient to Jehovah God. He was a man who knew the Lord and loved the Lord. He was a just man. But according to Jewish law, if a lady who was espoused or unmarried was found with child out of wedlock, she was to be brought before the city and stoned to death. And here is Joseph. I mean, he has a decision to make. Is he going to make her a public example? But the Bible says that he was not willing to make her a public example, but he was going to put her away privily. Think of this. Think of his hope has been destroyed, his trust, his confidence in Mary. It is done for because now he believes that she has been unfaithful to him. You see, the very coming of Jesus to this world came to people that were without hope, came to a world that was without hope. In fact, do you know that the angel said to Joseph in this dream, he said, "Fear not." Because Joseph was afraid. He was afraid of what was going to happen to Mary. He was afraid of his future. He had no hope whatsoever. It was destroyed. Is there hope at Christmas? Yes, there is hope. We find the pronouncement of this hope that Joseph's life had been turned upside down. And yet in that very moment, the Lord came to him and ministered to him and gave him hope. Look back in Matthew chapter 1 and notice what it says in verse number 20. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, you can imagine he is so consumed with the news that Mary is with child. Have you ever had something happen to you in your life to where you receive news to where you couldn't think about anything else? I mean, it was just so consuming to you. I mean, it was just so much on your mind. When my wife got news, and we thank the Lord that her mother is doing very well and is home now, and we're grateful for that. But when we got news that she had taken to the hospital, and I mean, it was bad and it was looking bad. And even on the operating table, her heart stopped and all that. I mean, it consumed my wife's mind, rightfully so. And she is consumed with that. I'm sure Joseph is the same. He's thinking, how am I going to tell everybody? What are we going to do? I mean, she could be put to death. I love her, but yet I don't even know if I can trust her now. I mean, he is thinking on these things. And the Bible says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you know something? On that day, everything changed for Joseph, yes, and his hopes are destroyed. His confidence in the future is gone for. But now, when God spoke to him and dealt with him, now there is hope, because now Joseph knows that the Savior is coming into this world. Do you understand that the Jewish people here knew that the promised Messiah was coming? In fact, many, no doubt, of the Jewish young ladies hoped that it would be them. Hope that they would be the one that would bear the Christ child into this world. I mean, the prophecy had been prophesied. Isaiah the prophet prophesied that Jesus would come and that he would be born of a virgin. And now hope has come. And I want you to know something. Hope is only found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. That is where our hope is. You may say this morning, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord is my Savior, but I still need hope. Yes, you need hope, but it is still found in Christ alone. And I want you to know something. Joseph found hope when the Lord spoke to him and when the Lord dealt with him. And I want you to hear me out. Folks, what we need today in the midst of hopelessness and despair and confusion and a world of uncertainty, we need to hear from the Lord as He speaks to us from His precious Word. And I want you to know God does not speak to us audibly today as He spoke to Joseph in this dream, but the Lord has given us the full revelation of His precious Word. And I want you to know God is still speaking today. And we need to spend more time in the Bible and more time alone with God so that we will find the hope that He has promised us in His precious Word. We need hope today. And Joseph found hope in the Lord. He found hope in what God was doing. Folks, can I just rest assured today that the Lord knows what He is doing in our world today? Listen, this world is not out of control in the eyes of God, because God has a plan and He is working His plan. We may not understand it like Joseph and Mary did not understand the plan of God. Why would God do this? And why would He do it at this time? And why would all this transpire? But God's plan was being fulfilled. And I want you to know something today. In the midst of a crazy, confused world, we have a God who is in charge. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. And our hope is in a God who rules and reigns on high. That's where our hope is. We find this pronouncement of a hope. By the way, I want you to know this. The Bible says that the virgin shall conceive. Folks, I want you to know something. The Bible always protects the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Some versions like to change this word from virgin to young woman. But I believe it destroys the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, He was not just born of a young woman who was married to a man. He was born of a virgin. Listen, the Father of Jesus is God Himself. There was no one else. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. There was no earthly father for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. And the Bible says that Mary was found with child. This was something so surprising to them, because Mary in her heart knew that she was faithful to Joseph. And Joseph in his heart knew that it was not his child. They knew before God that they were a pure couple. They had kept themselves for one another. And yet God brought about something that to them seemed so confusing. And to them it seemed to destroy all of their hope in the future. And I believe that we live in a world much like that today. People look at our political system and they think, where is hope in that? People look at the pandemic and they think, where is hope in all of this? But folks, our hope is not in what man can do. Our hope is in a God who is working His plan in the midst of the world today. Folks, God knows what He is doing. Some people think that God is like an old grandfather sitting in heaven in a rocking chair, trying to cope with the issues of life. Folks, I want you to know that our God is sovereign. He is in control and He is working His plan. We see the pronouncement of hope. But secondly, we see the pondering of Joseph. Now go back, if you would please, to what the Bible says and look in verse number 19, because I want you to see something. By the way, when I talk about hope today, it's not the word that we often use. For instance, yesterday I said to my son, I sure hope Ohio State wins, all right? But I wasn't confident in that, you know? I was glad when the score was settled and all of that. But it was a wish. It was no guarantee. It was a wish. For instance, I might say, you know, how many would hope that we have a white Christmas? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right. Some of you are like that. That's fine. There'll be no snow in heaven. Praise God. All right. I just want you to know that. All right. If we do, it'll be with sunshine and green grass. All right. Okay. But, you know, we say we hope, but we have no certainty of it. But the word hope in the Bible is not a wish. It's not, well, I don't know what I'm getting under the tree, but I hope it's this. No, Bible hope is certainty in that God's plan will be worked out according to His will. That's Bible hope. Bible hope is confidence. It is that there is a better future coming because God is ruling and reigning. So folks, I want you to know something. Our future, please hear me out. Our future is as bright as the promises of an eternal God. That's how bright our future is. I know you may look at America and you may look at your own life and you may think the future seems dim and you may think the future seems uncertain, but I want you to know something this morning. Your future is bright because of the promises of a God who loves and cares for you. That's our future. It's bright. It's wonderful. I'll be very honest with you. I'm a pastor and you know, some people think the pastor is perfect, all right? Just talk to my wife, you'll find out otherwise, all right? And some people think the pastor never struggles with anything. Well, I want you to know something. The last many months has been tough. And I have struggled in my own heart. I've had to go to God many times and say, Lord, help me with my hope. Help me with not living in despair or hopelessness. Lord, help me to trust in you. And I've had to get my eyes on the Lord because there we find hope. There we find peace and there we find contentment and we find that the Lord is on the throne. He is in control. It often reminds me like a little child. You know what? When I was growing up, I didn't despair about what was going on in the world. You know why? Because my daddy was there. My mom and dad were going to take care of everything. I didn't worry about the things. The future was great because my dad, you know, and in a sense, as a little child, I trusted my father. There's nothing wrong with that. But in a sense, I was trusting in someone greater than me to take care of things for me. Well, folks, today, it doesn't matter how old or how mature we may be. We must trust in someone who sees our future, has already been in our future, and a one who is working all things together for our good. The pronouncement of hope, but secondly, the pondering of Joseph. Now go back, if you would please, Matthew chapter 1, and look what it says in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Do you know that often in this passage, we find that he was minded to put her away privily while he thought on these things? What's going on in Joseph's mind is pondering. You know what? So often during these last many months, do you know what's going on in our minds? Lots of pondering. Have you ever thought to yourself, what is God doing? I've thought that. What is going to happen? What is the future for my children look like? What does the future of our church look like? What about this and what about that? We have pondering. I believe Joseph was just that way. You say, well, Pastor, this is a strange Christmas story that you're giving us today. But I want you to know this is really how it all came to pass. It didn't come to a perfect couple with no problems in life. Joseph and Mary were no doubt godly people, but they began their journey of marriage. They began everything in a cloud of uncertainty. I mean, think about it just for a moment. Here is Joseph. I mean, in fact, people never really believed that Joseph and Mary, I mean, they thought, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, have you ever heard of a virgin bringing forth a child? They did not put their faith and confidence in what the Word of God had said to them. And yet Joseph and Mary lived with that. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary going to the market? And there she's carrying baby Jesus months after that. Can you imagine what it was like? And the ladies in the corner would whisper and gossip about her. She lived with that. But that was God's plan. You see, we think sometimes God's plan is for everything to be perfect in our life. But folks, this side of heaven, that is not necessarily God's plan. We think sometimes that God's plan is that we want everything in line. We want everything as we think that it should be. And in Joseph, his mind is spinning. He's pondering. And folks, today, perhaps Joseph even questioned, what is God doing? What is God doing in my life? And I want you to know this, Joseph had a choice. And it's the choice that you have this morning. It's the choice that I have day by day. He had a choice. He could trust his emotions or he could trust his God. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. We've had lots of emotions that all of us have dealt with in the last many months. Maybe emotions of anger. Maybe emotions of fear. Maybe emotion of uncertainty, and maybe emotions of a critical spirit. Emotions maybe of even judging other people. We've had lots of emotions that we have dealt with in our heart and mind. Maybe emotions that things are not fair. Emotions that this is not just, and different things that have gone on in our heart and mind. And I believe that Joseph, in that moment, he had a choice. He could trust his emotions or he could trust in what God was working in his life. And folks, please know, if you miss the hand of God in your life, if you miss recognizing that God is at work, you're going to miss everything. And you will live in hopelessness. You will live in despair. You may think this morning, this is not what I thought would come into my life. This is not what I hoped would come into my life. And yet God, in His loving providence and in His loving care, has allowed it to come to you for a purpose. Trust your God. In your pondering, leave it at the feet of Jesus. In your wondering of what God is doing, know that the Lord is there and He is working all things together. That's what Joseph did. Joseph, folks, this morning, our God is always right. And our God is working His will based on His infinite wisdom and His unchanging promises. Do you know that God never makes a mistake? Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever made a mistake before? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right? I put both hands and both feet up, all right? You know? I mean, look, we make mistakes, do we not? We make decisions based on our short knowledge, our short time of experience in life. We make the best decision we can. But we have a God in heaven this morning who has infinite wisdom. That means He has all wisdom. He is wise. He is the God of wisdom. He emboldened. Everything of perfectness and sovereignty is encompassed in our God. He makes no mistakes. And no matter what you are dealing with this morning, no matter what seems to be confusing to you, while you are pondering, while you are going through that in your mind, trust that God is working out His plan. You know, you may have something this morning that you think, Pastor, this is not what I envisioned, but it's what God had for you. Pastor, this is not what I would choose, but it's God's choice for you. I think Joseph would have said on that day, God, I wouldn't have chosen this, but God chose it for him. God chose it for him. God knew what was best for him. And folks, sometimes we want to choose. We think that we know better than God sometimes. We don't say it. But we think it. We think, God, that's not what I need. That's not what's best for me. And yet God, in His love and care, chose it for us. And this is what God chose for Joseph and what God chose for Mary. Folks, we don't always feel that God's way is right. But His faithfulness to us doesn't depend on our emotions, but rather on His unchanging word. Today, you can trust your God. You can depend upon Him. Folks, it's not a matter of how we feel today or what we think that matters. What matters is that God's will is being done in our lives. And God is working out His will. Do you know that what Joseph had to do? He had to surrender to what God was doing. And I think that for a moment, no doubt, there was a war that was going on in Joseph. I mean, Joseph, I mean, you think in his mind, okay, Mary's with child. I mean, we're supposed to be married. I know that this is not my child. I've been faithful to God and I have kept myself for her. And I love her. I believe she is a good woman. I believe that she is not lying to me. But what she is telling me doesn't make any sense. And what she is telling me, I have never heard before. And what she is telling me, listen to me, is humanly impossible. And he was exactly right. But folks, so often in our life, what God is doing is humanly impossible. It is the supernatural work of a loving God. And while we are pondering on these things, let us trust Him. Let us commit ourselves into His care. Do you know what? Joseph could have made a hasty decision. He could have gotten angry and said, "That's it, I'm done." But Joseph waited on the Lord. And let me just say this. In your time of confusion, wait on the Lord. In your time of uncertainty, wait on God. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Wait for Him to reveal what He is doing. Wait for God to show you His path. Wait for God to show you the next step. That's what Joseph did. Joseph was pondering in his heart. I believe he was praying. I believe he was seeking the face of God. I believe he was saying, "God, I don't understand this. I don't know what to do." And while he was waiting, he was pondering, God spoke to him. You know what? God will only leave you in the dark as long as He deems it necessary. God will make it revealed. God will show you the next step. And God revealed to Joseph, "Joseph, I want you to know that Mary is with child and it's the Messiah. It's the coming one. It's the Savior. He shall save His people from their sins." We see the pronouncement of hope. We see, secondly, the pondering of Joseph. But thirdly and lastly, we see the provision of God. God provided. Now, if you have spent any time with a three-year-old, you'll quickly learn that one of the favorite questions of a three-year-old is, why? Why? I remember when my kids were very young, and they would ask me questions that I thought to myself, no person has ever asked that question in the history of mankind, you know? I mean, I thought, how do I even answer that, you know? Why? I mean, a lot of times there was no answer. Sometimes I just had to simply say, I don't know why. It's just that way, all right? I don't know why. And many times I got spiritual about it. I don't know why God did it that way, all right? You know? I don't know why. But you know, so often, I believe that during Joseph and Mary, I believe Joseph thought, why? Why, God? Why? Why this way? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, all right? Would you and I have written the Christmas story to begin this way? No. Would you and I have put Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in that manger and in the stable there? No, we wouldn't have done that. Would we have them traveling when she is bearing, I mean, with child, great with child? No, but God did. Would we have this come about this way? No, but God did. And God is all wise. And He knew what He was doing. And He provided for them. Folks, so often we are like the little three-year-old with God. In a sense, we can become so preoccupied with wanting to know what God is doing, when He is going to step in, or why He hasn't worked at this point in our life. We almost become consumed with that, and it can almost become a snare that the devil brings into our life to where we are missing the point. We're missing what God is doing. We're missing, instead of wanting to know why God was brought this into our life and when God is going to see us through and what God is going to do, we miss the whole point of it. Joseph had to rest. He had to trust in God. I've told you this, but years ago, we were going through something, my wife and I, and I was fighting, not physically fighting anything other than God in my heart. And my wife knew I was restless. And in my spirit, I wasn't accepting what God was doing. And my wife looked at me one day and lovingly and kindly said, Honey, let the Lord have His way. Rest in the Lord. Accept what God has brought to you. Because I wasn't accepting it. And I argued with God in my mind. I said, Lord, this is not the way I thought it should be. This is not what I had envisioned. This is not what I had dreamed about. This is not my plan. And my wife said to me, honey, accept God's will. When she was so spiritual about it, I said, I don't want to accept God's will, you know? But I knew that that was right. And in that moment, God used her words of encouragement. And I had to just yield. I remember getting alone with God and pouring my heart out to God and saying, God, I don't understand this. This makes no sense to me. But God, I accept it by faith. By faith. I couldn't see. I couldn't know what was happening. I didn't understand it all. And I believe that's where Joseph had to come to the point of, God, I yield. Folks, God always reveals what we need to know in His timing. Do you know that when Joseph was thinking on those things, he was pondering that God came to him and spoke to him when he needed. Now, God didn't lay out the whole plan before Joseph. God didn't give me every detail, but God said, Joseph, I just want you to know that that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. You can trust Mary. I have done this, Joseph. Joseph, this is my work. This is what I am doing. I am working. And I believe this morning that God wants to say to each and every one of us, what is going on in your life, no matter if it's devastating, debilitating to you, discouraging to you, brought distress and despair to you, I want you to know that there is a God who sees what is happening. And that God is working all that out in your life for His purpose and His care. Trust Him. Yield to Him. Accept what He has brought, because He is doing a great work. Folks, and when we don't know every detail and we aren't sure how things are going to work out, we can rest in the knowledge that God is good, that God loves us, and that He has an unfolding plan for our lives. We can trust Him. Folks, I think in these last many months, we, and I'm to blame as anybody else, we have come to hopelessness. You know why? Because if our hope is in what man can do, then we are at a place of hopelessness. If our hope is in a changing world, then I'm sorry, we have no hope. If our hope is in better days that we can bring about, or we can manufacture, or that someone else can bring about, then we have no hope. But if our hope, and it is, in a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who's concerned for us, a God who knows every detail of our life, He knows every pain, He knows every heartache, He knows every sorrow. If that God loves me and cares for me, then I can trust Him, because He's working all things together for my good. That is where our hope is found. That's where our hope is found. You know what? Today, we must understand that in our darkest experiences in life, so often we forget that God has a plan of bringing good out of our suffering, of bringing good out of our heartache. He is that God that comes to us in the middle of the night. He is that God that is working things together for our good. And by the way, what God brought about in the life of Mary and Joseph was the greatest thing of all. I mean, think of it that day. Oh, look, others looked upon it in disdain. Others looked upon Mary and Joseph and made remarks and snide remarks. And they looked upon her in disgust. But God was working His plan. Folks, I want you to know something. Our Savior came to this earth. He was born of a Virgin Mary. And Jesus came in the midst of hopelessness to a people who needed hope. And folks, I want you to know something today. He will come to you in your time of need. He's here for you. He loves you. My hope is not in something that I can manufacture, something that I can come up with. My hope is in a God who loves me and cares for me and who's working all things together. Folks, today, I don't know what is going on in your life. I don't. I do not know the despair that you may be dealing with. I don't know. I had someone say to me recently, and I had forgotten something. And they said to me, "Pastor, it's good to know you're human, you know?" And we joked and laughed about that. And I thought so often to myself, you know what? There are times when you come into church and I shake your hand and you have a smile on your face and I say, "How you doing?" "I'm doing fine." But in your heart, you're not really doing fine. Because there's darkness. There's despair. There's hopelessness that has entered in. And the devil wants us to live in despair. The devil wants us to live in hopelessness because he doesn't want us to give hope to a hopeless world. And you know what? There's times when you've come to me and I've smiled and there's been despair in my heart. You see, we don't know what each and every one of us is dealing with, but mark it down. There is a God who sees your every heartache. There is a God who knows every detail of your life, and He knows the tears. He knows all of that. And our God wants to come to us in the midst of our hopelessness, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our lack of trust in the future. That God wants to infuse within us hope, not in a better life, but in a God who is at work. You know what, Joseph, you know what helped him? God spoke to him and God told him he was at work. You know what we need today? We need to hear from a God who is at work in our life. And folks, I'm going to just tell you this. When we know that God is working, that settles everything. Can I just share something with you that I pray that you take right? Over 10 years ago, God led my family and I here, and we celebrated that a few weeks ago, and we're so grateful for your kindness and love and all of that. It was wonderful. We're just still overwhelmed by it. But do you know that when we came here, number one, I was fearful because I'd never pastored a church ever. Secondly, we were hurting. We'd left people that we knew and loved for 12 years. And I remember sitting on the platform. I'll never forget it. I was sitting there and you didn't know it. But in my heart, man, I was dying. I was hurting. I was struggling. My wife knew it. And I remember sitting there that day and God, the Holy Spirit, began to speak to my heart, not audibly. But you know what? He spoke to me on that day. And He dealt with me. And you know what He did? He simply said, "Son, I know what you're dealing with. And I have brought you. And I have led you. And I am at work in your life." And that was all that I needed that day. It was it. I remember getting up that morning and preaching. And it was as if the Lord was saying, "I brought you here. And I am at work." And you know what, folks? Wherever you're at, you know what you need to know? God has brought you to that place. Wherever it is, a place that you want to be. I'm not talking about geographical location. I'm talking about a place in your life that maybe you thought you'd never be. But God has brought you there. And He is at work. And He will work all things together for your good. And folks, that's what God did for Joseph. He gave him hope. And listen, we need to have hope today. We not need to live in hopelessness and despair and fear. We need to have hope that our God is at work. He's at work not only in the world, but He's at work personally in your life. He is working in your life. He is drawing you to Himself. He is bringing you to a place of surrender and yielding to your life. Let's yield to Him. Today, if you're here in this service this morning, maybe you're here without Jesus Christ. I want you to know something beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has brought you here this morning to hear the truth of God's word so that you have a choice to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will choose to trust Jesus as your only Savior because He is the only way to heaven. But if you are a Christian this morning, then I want you to know you're faced with a choice. What are we going to choose in this climate that we're living in our society? What are we going to choose? We can trust our emotions. We can live in anger, despair, and hopelessness. Or we can look to a God who is working all things together for our good. We can look to a God who has a greater plan. We can't see it, but His plan is at work. And no man thwarts the sovereign will of a holy God. And our God is at work. You know what we must do? Yield to Him. Accept what He has brought to our life. And love Him and serve Him and follow Him. Folks, is there hope at Christmas? Yes. And I say again, yes. Because our hope is in the God. The God who gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth is the God who's at work in your life. He's at work, and we need to trust Him. Is there hope at Christmas? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Today, I believe with all my heart that the Lord has spoken to many hearts. Maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. You don't know Him. You don't know where you would go if you died today. Oh, the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of salvation. It's been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And you simply must accept that gift. Oh, you could reject the gift, but I beg of you to accept that gift. How many this morning would say, Pastor, I do not know the Lord as my Savior. I do not know where I would go if I died today. Would you pray for me? I will not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. But I just want to pray for you. How many say, that's me, preacher. Would you pray for me? No one is looking. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me. Amen. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Who else? Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know where I'd go if I died this morning. Pray for me. If you raised your hand, I want to beg of you. When the invitation begins and the music begins to play and we begin to sing, I want to ask you, as other people will leave their seat and come forward, I want to ask you to leave your seat and come and find me here. And we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you... I want to ask every Christian here this morning, how many would say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I've struggled with living with hope. I've struggled. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. I've struggled with it. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know, I want you to unwrap God's gift of hope today. It's found with Him. He's at work. He knows what He is doing. He's not distant. He's not in despair. He's been in our future, and everything is fine because our God is in control. Today, yield to Him. Maybe many of you would like to come to this altar and say, Lord, I yield to You. I yield to what You're doing in my life. Please give me hope. And I promise you He'll answer that prayer. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to finish this prayer, and then let's let the Lord have His way. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Lord, help us to live with hope, not in hopelessness and despair. And I pray for anyone that's without Jesus, that they leave their seat and come in just a moment, and that they would receive Christ. But God, I pray for Your children, Christians, who need encouragement and strength. May they find it, as they always will, with You. You are the God of hope, and we praise You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 326. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hymn number 326. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come? Let the Lord have His way.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Look full in His wonderful and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we followed Him there. Over us sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
You can just remain standing there, and I want to thank you for being here this morning. Tonight, I pray that you will come. We're excited. I have Glenn Stevenson. He's our evangelist out of our church, and him and his family are in for a while, and he's going to preach for us tonight, and I always enjoy hearing him preach. Love to hear him sing as well, and I trust that you can be here this evening. Deacons, 5 o'clock for a meeting, choir practice at 5 as well. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out, and if you didn't get our Christmas card, we'd love to give that to you. And I appreciate all the remarks, you know, and about how that I look so much older than everybody in my family and all that, so it's always encouraging, you know. So, but anyway, well, we pray. Now, remember, Tuesday night is our midweek service. 7 o'clock, we'll meet right in here. And not too many more weeks left of us meeting in here, and then we'll get back into the sanctuary. Be in prayer this week. The Lord will take care of everything, and everything will just fall into place. And I'm looking forward to stopping being a general contractor, all right? I want to get back to being a pastor, you know? And so that would be good, all right? Let's see, would you come and close this in word of prayer? By the way, also pray for many of our staff that are heading out for Christmas. I know the Armacost are leaving out tomorrow, and Miss Olson, Miss Kagan are heading out as well. And you guys are going to Florida, aren't you? All right, that's wrong, brother. All right, okay. And his family is all meeting there. Then you're going to Alaska, right? Okay, that's where his wife is from. Haven't seen her family since you guys got married deserted them, all right? So, but anyway, so you pray for all the traveling. The Stevensons are heading out Tuesday morning and traveling as well, so pray for their safety. And Brother Stevenson, would you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that you give us, and Lord, thank you for coming to this earth for one reason, to die for us and to be buried and then to raise again and have victory over death. Lord, we thank you for that. We rely upon you for many things in our life, but Lord, those everyday things that we try to fix on it by ourselves, Lord, I pray that we would turn that over to you, that we would take all of our burdens and we would lay them at your feet. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us. Help us take the true meaning of Christmas, that story, and share it with those who are around us. I pray that we would be a testimony to those who are in need. Lord, I pray that you be with us, give us safety on the road, and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.